Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
Animals live in the moment. And I really feel that that's why animals get so much more out of chiropractic so much faster than people, because they take what you do, they feel better, they just embrace that. Yesterday's gone, you know, unless there's some terrible trauma or abuse issues that, you know, keep coming back at them. There's no tomorrow. They don't think that way. Right. They don't have those cognitive skills. But they are emotional. You know, they depend on us. They have emotions. But they're right in the moment. So they feel good. And they just expect to feel good. Mm-hmm. And I really think that's why animals just get better so quickly. And I don't have to see them as much as I would a person.
Hey, you guys, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. We're going to talk about fur babies today. That was Claudia Cottrell. She is with Animal Kingdom Chiropractic. And she is going to share with you a little bit of the science, the art, and the philosophy of chiropractic. And she has been a chiropractor for both people and animals. So she can speak to a broad perspective, which I think is so cool. What a fun job getting to go visit all these animals and make them feel better. How cool is that? So we're going to talk about her journey before chiropractic and bring us to the experience of where she is now. As you heard in the intro quote, she talks about a little bit of the different approaches that humans and animals sort of have to their chiropractic care and how that experience plays out in the results that she sees. She goes in a little bit to the history of animal chiropractic and the certifications and why that's important, and sprinkled throughout some things you might keep an eye on that your animal might be doing that let you know that, hey, I'm maybe not quite in the alignment that I need to be, when they might be experiencing some discomfort, and how sometimes easy that is to help them get back on track. It's a great conversation, whether you have fur babies or not, but if you do, definitely worth a listen. And if you're somebody that isn't in Duluth or around the Duluth area, a lot of also really great information for wherever you are. And also her website that you can find in the show notes, and we'll give at the end. She has some really nice blog posts that can just help you learn a little bit more about your animal and about chiropractic care for your animals in general, wherever you are. Before we dive in, a few things I want to make sure that I mention. If you're listening to this close to May 21st, on the 18th was Spirit and Wellness Connection, and we did a live podcast recording there, and that will be coming up. The plan is next week, so we're looking at pulling that all together, getting that edited. We had some really great discussions during the panels that I'm excited to share with you and have you here. So look forward to that. Also, a reminder, June 27th, Thursday evening, if you're in the Duluth, Twin Ports area, Minneapolis, if you're feeling like you need a little weekend up north, come on to the podcast party. Listen Local is what it's called. And it is Wellness Renaissance Podcast Party. So we are in the planning stages, and I am excited to share an evening with all of you listeners, people that have been on the podcast. So come and mix and mingle and have some chats with some of the folks who have been on the podcast. Our plan is to record a live podcast there. So we're going to have some fun stuff going on. So if you can make it, we would love to have you. You can purchase tickets on the website, wellnessrenpodcast.com. There are two tickets. One is for the folks who have been interviewees on the podcast, and the other one is for attendees. So you can fit whatever category that you fit into. Check out the event on Facebook as time gets closer. We're going to be posting some information about some stuff that's happening there. So great way to keep track of what's going on. I want to thank each and every one of you for supporting the podcast, whether you're a listener, a sharer of the podcast, or a supporter of the podcast. Thank you so much. Honestly, everything that you do to help spread the message that the people on the podcast are putting out there really does mean a lot. Thank you so very much. So if you're listening to an episode and you think of somebody who might be interested in it, share it on your Facebook page, send them the link, the email. If you're not on the email list, it's a great way to get that episode reminder in your email box each week. And if you do not see it and you have signed up, please look in your spam folder. And you can certainly send an email and let us know if for some reason it's not coming your way. You can sign up for the email right on the website, wellnessrenpodcast.com. And if you like the work we're doing, you like the podcasts, and you think they're worth maybe 25 cents a week, please consider joining the Patreon community in supporting the podcast. Again, a buck a month, 25 cents a week. I think you even get a few free podcasts in there with that whole plan. And of course, you can do more, you know, a cup of coffee a month, whatever level excites you. And do know that right now we do have some really cool stuff going on with the Patreon levels, especially the $20 Patreon level. There's a couple books we're giving away with that. And also, if you sign up between now and the party, you will also be entered into a drawing at whatever level you do sign up for. So please consider that. Consider supporting the work we do. And thank you, thank you, thank you to all who have done that already. We really do appreciate your taking the time to do that and the commitment. Honestly, I really appreciate the energy that you are sending forth and helping make this possible. So thank you so very much. All right, let's go forth and talk about fur babies. Are horses considered fur babies? I don't know. I still think of them as fur babies, but maybe that's not an appropriate term. Claudia works on horses too. So if I'm inappropriately using the term fur baby, horses, she does horses. And probably anything else you threw her way. Does anybody have any monkeys? Do we have any pet monkeys in the area? If you do have a pet monkey in the area, I'm open for babysitting. Just saying. Welcome, Claudia. Thank you for hanging out with me today and having a conversation.
Thank you.
I'm excited to talk to you. You're a chiropractor. You're an animal chiropractor.
I am.
Which is really neat. So before we dive into some of that, because I love animals and they're such an important part of our life and give us so much, I want to kind of just have you introduce yourself, what you do, and kind of how did you get from where you were and, you know, at 20 years old, kind of how did you get to where you are now and what got you to working with animals strictly?
Well, that's an interesting story. I went out to California when I was 20, actually, to go to Humboldt State University because I wanted to be a marine biologist.
Okay.
As I was growing up, I'd watch Jacques Cousteau, and I thought, I want to work on the Calypso with Jacques. So being from farmland Minnesota, I'd never seen the ocean. I make my travels out to California and enroll. Well, I was already enrolled at Humboldt State, and they actually didn't have a marine biology degree, but they had oceanography and they had some related degrees. So I took an oceanography class, and the first time we went out on the research vessel, I was a little overwhelmed. We had a whale come up alongside the ship, and I pretty much freaked out.
Oh, no.
And went, whoa, I don't know if I can go in that water.
Oh.
Knowing what's in there. And then the Pacific Northwest, of course, is totally different from some of the nice, warm, clear water oceans. And I knew that would be different, but that was really, really hard for me. So I switched my major to freshwater fisheries, which sounded great too, because I grew up fishing with my dad. And I thought, I just want to fish when I'm an adult. Well, no, you can't just do that. You have to get a job. So I thought, well, I can do freshwater fisheries. I can have a job. So I went through the program and I graduated. And somewhere along the line, it was like, nah, this is not working. So I then did a lot of other odd jobs and whatnot, but met my husband out there. We got married in 1984 and moved to Minneapolis. And I'd gotten introduced to chiropractic when I was in California because I was a runner and an aerobics teacher, and I hurt my hip. So I had some contact with this chiropractor and really felt great after working with him for a little bit. So when we got to Minneapolis, I wanted to teach more aerobics, and there was a position open in Bloomington in the recreation department. And I told my husband, you know what, if I don't get this job, I'm going to chiropractic school. Because I just happened to drive by Northwestern one day, and I zipped in there and picked up a catalog for some strange reason. So anyway, I didn't get the job, obviously. So I went to chiropractic school and then practiced for 20 years until I have a local friend, Julie Sathers from JS Realty up in Hermantown area. She was a client of mine, and her children were patients of mine. And she told me one day that her horse, she'd gotten one of her horses adjusted. And I just went, oh, well, who did that? You know, and kind of piqued my interest, even though I was taking my animals to a vet in Wisconsin who had the animal chiropractic certification. And my best friend that I met in chiropractic school actually had taken the certification about 10 years ago from that point. And at that point, I was kind of getting burnt out with chiropractic, kind of. I had moved my practice to my home. I just was like, was looking for something. So I immediately went on board and started researching the schools, found the original school, which was in Wellsville, Kansas. So this was about November of 2010. So by March of 2011, I started Alma Chiropractic School.
Nice.
And right. And it clicked. It just, everything seemed so easy. And I just made the parallels between human and animal chiropractic. And it just felt so easy that I graduated in August of 2011.
Okay.
And went home and sent out letters to all the veterinarians, all the chiropractors in the area, and started my practice like right away. And I had success right away too, which is
nice.
Pretty amazing. Having opened a few practices along the way with my human chiropractic, I just thought, well, why is this so easy? And I felt like I finally found my niche.
Wow.
Really.
That's cool.
It is. It is.
It's nice when it's like, ah, oh, I'm here.
Right. And the best thing is animals love it. And then when they love it, their humans love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to bill insurance because I didn't have to do that anyway, but mm-hmm. I chose to because I felt I needed to a certain degree. But now that's just so much easier in my life and in my practice.
Right.
To have that just very simple.
There are animal insurances. Do they cover that? And I would assume the person who owned the animal would deal with that.
They do. And I don't know a lot about it. I've only had two requests for notes to be sent to. So yes, the owner actually sends the bill to their company to get reimbursed if it's something they cover.
Right. Okay. I just think that's cool. I love animals, and it makes so much sense to me to, you know, I think of how humans, when we kind of do so many things to ourselves that are not ideal for our bodies. So it makes absolute sense why we need chiropractic care. But I think of, you know, dogs and when they're chasing balls and they fall, or a horse that missteps, or the dog runs into the tree on their way to catch the bone. I mean, the things they do to themselves, it's amazing that they can still walk and be sometimes.
Right. And sometimes they do nothing like people do. We have conditions that take a long time to manifest, mm-hmm. you know, in people. It's like, oh, I just bent over to pick something up and my back went out. Well, yeah, but that process had been going on for days, weeks, months, and maybe years, mm-hmm. and you just pushed yourself over
the cliff. Yeah.
And animals do the same thing because they can't say, oh, you know what? My back feels a little tweaked today. And, you know, they can't tell us those little things as they, you know, are bugging them and bugging them. Because I get so many calls where a person will say, I don't know what happened. My dog was running across the yard. She let out a big yelp. She came inside and crawled under the table, and she couldn't walk. And then I see that dog, and they're paralyzed, just like that. So usually what that is a bad disc, just like people will have a bad disc. But they get little warnings along the way, like stiffness, soreness, pain and tingling running down your leg, you know, just numbness and those kinds of things. But our animals can't relay that to us. So.
And they hide it sometimes so well that you don't,
right,
you don't see it.
A stoic animal.
Yeah.
Some of them are babies. But.
Which can be helpful in that situation.
Yes.
Or if you can notice that they're doing something weird with their paw. My aunt's dog used to, he would come up to me and he'd back and he'd kind of cuddle up to the side, and then he wanted his hips rubbed. Mm-hmm. That was his sign of okay.
And that's a clue.
You know,
and you know,
right.
If people, you're giving me ideas on what I should do. for my newsletters, like information, like, you know, watch for these kinds of things. If your dog is presenting their back end to you or their neck to you and they like to be rubbed in a certain area, it's like, maybe pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Or there's a little limp that's, oh, well, he limps a little bit once in a while, but then he's okay, so we'll just wait. And I usually tell people, don't wait, please, because that situation can go south in a hurry. So bring him in and get him checked sooner than later.
Yeah, definitely. Well, when we think of ourselves, you know, we tend to wait too long, right? But We sometimes are better to our animals than we are to ourselves, so it's a little bit more quicker to know, you know. I was quicker with my cats when something was going on. It's like, oh, gotta take care of them, you know.
Then another chiropractor friend pointed out to me that the difference in, like, a paralyzed animal, that they're either going to be sent to the University of Minnesota to have MRI and then probably surgery, whereas people... You don't tell your surgeon, well, I'm just going to try chiropractic for a while if you're paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
But in the animal world, it's not always, a family can't always, number one, afford the surgery, which can be like $6,000 to $8,000 plus the MRI. A lot of times the dog's older, so they don't want to put their dog through that pain and discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that that dog will walk again or that they won't be in pain anymore.
Mm.
So that's kind of a crapshoot.
Wow.
That's a really expensive, let's just try and see what happens.
Right.
So in my mind, being a chiropractor, I would rather try something conservative first and then see what happens. And I have to say, I've had about 7 or 8 dogs that were paralyzed completely in the back end, and they all regained their ability to walk.
Oh, wow.
Through chiropractic.
That's exciting.
Sometimes I'd have a colleague do acupuncture when she was in the area, but that to me was so encouraging and so amazing and so fulfilling for me, the animal, and the owner to have that happen.
Do you work on all different animals? Like, what is there any animal that you worked on that would surprise us, like a bird?
No, but I did have it isn't funny, but I did have a call one day about a parakeet that had flown into the wall and, you know, was not in good shape, and the person asked if I could, you know, help it, and I said, well, I'll try, you know, it's I certainly will try. I mean, it has a spine. It's going to be very delicate, but she never did call back.
Oh.
So I have a feeling it didn't go well.
Yeah, birdie.
But I did try to adjust a bird that flew into my window, and that didn't work. Actually, I did resuscitate one that had, you know, not hit the window too hard.
Uh-huh.
A little finch or something. So I don't know if that really helped. It did fly away.
Hopefully in better shape than it came to you.
Mostly the largest population that I do is dogs.
Okay.
And then it's horses, especially in the, you know, spring, summer, and fall. And then cats. I don't do a lot of cats. And my theory is that they're so inherently flexible that they just take care of themselves so much easier. I mean, they're constantly stretching and rolling, and they're built more flexible, and they do a lot of jumping until they get older, and then that's where I see them if they have some arthritic condition, or then they get more metabolic issues like, you know, kidney, liver, and there's this condition called megacolon, and I can't really describe what it is, but, or it's behavioral stuff, like they're just peeing all over, or they won't eat. But I've had a few clients like that. I adjust them, and they're back to normal. So that's like, whoa.
Wow.
How cool is that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Where that would be a difficult thing to handle, just doing it medically.
Right. Yeah. Well, trying to figure out what's going on.
Right.
But, and you're right. It's, you wonder, it's like, what was going on in there that got all fixed up for them?
Right. But the beauty of chiropractic, as you know, too, is we're adjusting the spine, which affects the central nervous system,
right,
which controls all the systems. So I am just being very specific, doing adjustments, but the response is global.
Right.
And that's the beauty. It's like, I don't know what's going to happen when I do an adjustment. And, you know, I don't worry about what's going to happen because I trust the organism to just take that adjustment and do whatever kind of shifting it has to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where the magic comes, is like, ooh.
Well, and it's so neat too with animals that, you know, they're coming to this without an idea or a judgment. You know, you're working on them, and then whatever happens, happens. They're not like, well, I've heard about these chiropractor people and I don't know what I think.
Conceived ideas. Oh my gosh, it will kill your care plan immediately.
Right? Yeah. So they come and they're just experiencing what you're doing and what they're feeling. And my cat had, I don't know if it was chiropractic. I had a vet come to my house and she worked on my cat, and I was blown away that he actually sat there and let her do it. And I mean, like for a half an hour, and I was just like, wow, I was in awe. Yeah. And it was great. It was great to see that he just like settled into it. And so it's just amazing.
Well, animals live in the moment. And I really feel that that's why animals get so much more out of chiropractic so much faster than people, because they take what you do, they feel better, they just embrace that. Yesterday's gone, you know, unless there's some terrible trauma or abuse issues that, you know, keep coming back at them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no tomorrow. They don't think that way.
Right.
They don't have those cognitive skills. But they are emotional. You know, they depend on us. They have emotions. But they're right in the moment. So they feel good, and they just expect to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that's why animals just get better so quickly. And I don't have to see them as much as I would a person, which I just kept seeing time after time. When I started doing this, I was like so amazed at that quick turnaround. Because in dealing with humans for 20 years, things would be going slowly but gradually, and people would start getting healthier, have less pain, be more flexible. But then something would happen. It was their husband, their wife, their job, you know, some miserable something, and it could just ruin everything in such a short period of time that I found that very frustrating in people's path to being well. So that if they weren't adding some other things to help with their care, like just going for a walk, getting some exercise, eating good food, meditating, going to yoga, tai chi, any kind of thing to help assist in the rest of their life, instead of just leaving that up to the practitioner. You fix me. I have so many people. I just want you to fix me. And my first comeback was always, I can't fix anything. You're going to sign up for this. And we're partners in your road to health. And if this is what you want, you're going to make it happen. But I'm not fixing anything.
Right. Well, and as humans, we do so many things that in this world today, that is not, because not what our body is built for. We're not built to sit at computers for 8 hours a day. We're not built, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so again, that's where cats and dogs and horses, you know, if they're doing what cats, dogs, and horses do, they're living their like little animal truth, right? You know, where we're kind of sidelined by this having to go to work and sit at a desk all day kind of thing, which really throws us. And you have the chiropractic care, but you need the support in all that comes with that too.
Yeah. But we're making our animals do things too. I mean, we've got barrel racers, we've got cutting horses, which I don't know if you know what that is, but
no idea.
So this is an interesting one. You're in a barn or an arena where they have, sometimes they use live calves, or they have mechanical flags for training, and the horse has to cut them off.
Oh, wow.
So they're moving really fast, and then they're, you know, going down on their front legs really low to the ground to, you know, cut off that calf. And I've been out at one of the barns locally. The horses get really messed up because it's so intense. It's fast. It's short. And it's when I've seen them come out of the arena, sometimes they are drenched like they were just hosed down. They sweat that much. So there's that. There's endurance riding. There's dressage, which is a dance precision performance. This is where the riders dress, you know, in just nice clothes and hat and jacket.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think you're...
I've seen that.
And it's not rugged, but it's very precise. So, you know, they're trained to listen to music and do certain routines. So there's a lot of fine muscle movement, a lot of tension, a lot of thinking, a lot of taking instructions. So it's stressful,
right?
You know, in that sense. So when you have horses doing these kinds of performances or jobs, you know, they need some care on the backside. They need relaxation and massage or some chiropractic, you know, to keep things in alignment, rest, love, TLC, if we're going to ask them to do all that work for us.
Right. Wow. Well, and then I'm thinking of the dog shows, the endurance and the agility, you know, and watching them is kind of amazing. And yeah, that's not so much there. That's not a typical doggy life.
No, to be, you know, going through tunnels and then going, running up ramps and then jumping over barricades or whatever.
And then going through those like cone things where they're, running and, through. And
and then I've had a few dogs that do the agility work, and they'll say, well, you know, Fido won't do can't weave the poles very well, or he refuses to do the jumps. It's like, gee, I wonder why. Because they're smarter than people, because they know if I jump over that. And people say that to me, too, about their dogs at home. He won't jump on the couch anymore.
Right.
Well, because he has learned that it's going to hurt if he does that.
Yeah.
So he's not going to do it. And so that's a really good clue.
Right.
But especially for the agility dogs. You know, if they're refusing to do a certain thing,
that's
probably a red flag right away.
Wow. Yeah. I think of my cat. We don't quite know what happened because nobody was there when it happened, but we think he made a leap towards the top of the fridge. That was a little bit of a...
Yeah.
And so he had hurt his leg pretty bad. And at one point, he would climb up on things because he could jump up, but mm-hmm. he couldn't jump down, and he knew he couldn't jump down. So I had to block everything in the house so he couldn't get. But if I was in the house, I didn't worry so much because he would get up in the chair and then I'd hear, "Meow." And that was the sign that I gotta go use the litter box. Can you help me out here? So I pick him up, put him down, and then he was good. But yeah, they know their mm-hmm. bodies. They just don't always know how to. They forget. Right. Forget to jump up. Oops, that's not going to work. Yep.
But I really do find with dogs how they will resist doing something because they're in pain. Mm-hmm. Even simple stretching. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they do downward dog. Mm-hmm. Famous yoga move.
Yes.
But if all of a sudden they're just not doing that, or they start to and then they stop, it's like, they're in pain. Or just a simple shake, like a dog will shake when they get out of the water. If they don't do that anymore, there's something wrong. Or what I see a lot is they start shaking at the head and then it stops at the shoulder or the mid back or just above the hips. It's like, okay, it should go from nose to tail, just like a snake all the way through. And when that stops, there you go. And you can tell it stops right here. Oh, there's a subluxation right there. Uh-huh. How interesting.
Well, and too, you know, you think of when we're, you know, we have older animals and they stop doing so. Oh, they're just getting old. Where mm-hmm. it's worth to say, well, are they just getting older? Is just something a little out of whack that they can put back into place and be okay for a while or for a long time? Let's talk about the history of chiropractic, animal chiropractic, because, yeah, this is something I think for many people that they think it's kind of maybe new, something we don't hear very much about, and that's not the case.
Exactly. Yeah, chiropractic, animal chiropractic started at the same time as human chiropractic in the early 1900s at Palmer College. They apparently had an infirmary where they worked on animals there at the college back then. And as a lot of people know, those of us doing chiropractic before animal chiropractic became certified, we'd be adjusting animals when our clients would ask us to. But there are some special problems with that, which I'll get into a little later. So the actual certification for animal chiropractic began back in the 80s. It was Dr. Sharon Willoughby, who was a veterinarian. She was getting okay results with her veterinary practice, but she had a friend that was a chiropractor, and she would be working on some animals, and she was frustrated because this friend of hers was getting better results than she was with some of the chronic conditions that she was working with. So she wanted to learn chiropractic. So then she went to chiropractic school herself. She was just looking for how to help animals the best she can and get them out of pain and have them be as healthy as possible. So she dropped her veterinary license, and she was a graduate of chiropractic school and then started to practice. And that kind of got around the veterinary field, and they objected to what she was doing, and they actually revoked her license. And she didn't give up. Her goal was to just work with these animals the best she could, and she really realized that chiropractic was a huge, huge part of what she wanted to be doing. So she eventually, in 1987, then, you know, everything kind of cleared up. She got her veterinary license back, and she was on the road to, you know, reaching her goals. So she started Options for Animals. It was in Illinois at that time, back in 1987. But now it's currently in Wellsville, Kansas, and it's the original school. There's an Options for Animals in Germany. There's also Backbone Institute or Backbone Academy in Germany as well. And then now, more recently, there's a program at Parker Chiropractic College in Texas. And there is one in outside of Milwaukee. That one is led by Dr. Pedro. That name is escaping me now, but he has a really good school down there for animal chiropractic. So the program is basically a 5-week, a 210-hour animal chiropractic course that veterinarians and chiropractors, you have to be licensed and in good standing wherever you practice to be able to go through the school. And it's challenging, which I think is great because it's chiropractic. There's a lot to chiropractic. So we talk a lot about the philosophy, neurology, because chiropractic is neurology, and the chemistry, and then we do a lot of hands-on lab working on dogs at the school. We have a stable connected to the school, so we get to go out and work on the horses. And it is intense. The testing is difficult. The theory is, when I took that test, I was challenged, even being a chiropractor for as long as I had been.
Wow.
Which I think is great, because we want those standards of education to be really, really high, so that we're doing the best we can for our animal friends. It's just, it's our job.
Right.
To provide the best care. In Minnesota, the certification, I think it was about 10 to 15 years ago when Dr. Annie Seafelt put the bill through the legislature and got certification, which is really important, because when I finished the course at Options in 2011 and started going out and adjusting horses and getting out in the countryside, I heard stories about these rogue practitioners that were out there, that they weren't vets, they weren't chiropractors, they had no credentials, and they were adjusting horses and charging way more money than those of us who are professionals.
Oh my goodness.
So not only was that dangerous, but wrong, and then also illegal once the certification became a law. So I'm really glad that we have that certification. The only part I don't like is that me as a chiropractor having the animal certification, I need a referral from a veterinarian in order to work on your dog or your cat or your horse.
Mm-hmm.
Some states are even trickier, where, like Wisconsin, which I'm licensed in also, they don't have a certification, so we're not really recognized. But we're supposed to have a veterinarian on site if we're doing adjustments, which is not really possible, because veterinarians, especially equine vets, are extremely busy. They have no interest in coming and watching me do something they have no clue about.
Mm-hmm.
So I belong, there's two certification groups. There's the American Veterinary Chiropractic Association, and then there's the International Veterinary Chiropractic Association, which I am a member. And I'm a member of the IVCA simply because they were at Options at our last module there and ready to test us.
Mm.
So here we are. We just finished our written exam for Options. We just finished our practical, and then we had, coffee break, and then basically, I think it might have been the next day. I don't know. It just seemed so intense. But then the IVCA was there with their exam committee, and then they were able to test us right then, which was great because we were fresh.
Right.
Well, we were exhausted and worn out. But, when you're taking tests, it's better to take them right then, because the AVCA held their test 3 months later in another state. So that would have meant another trip, another expense to fly somewhere, another expense to pay for the exam. So it was just kind of by accident that I'm with the IVCA. But I love the IVCA because it's an international group. In 2016, I went to their annual meeting and conference, which was held in Oslo, Norway.
Ooh,
where
nice.
I have relatives.
Oh, cool.
So that was a fabulous trip. And then last November, the meeting and annual conference was held in Dublin. And I went to that, which was incredible too. I always wanted to go to Ireland. And then at that meeting, I had put my name in to be a candidate for the management committee because they were looking for a new member. And I got elected.
Yay!
Which was great. And then I thought, whoa, now what have I gotten myself into? So I'm the only one from the States.
Oh.
The others are from Norway, Ireland, Austria, and Brazil.
Oh, interesting.
So this has been so much fun to hold. We hold Skype meetings every 2 to 4 weeks, and to be working with, you know, the group as international. Our goal is, again, to uphold the high standards of education so that we are providing the best care possible, because we know that our doctors are the licensed vets and chiropractors that go to the approved chiropractic schools are actually of highest quality.
Mm-hmm.
That's just very, very critical for us. There's a lot of things on our plate, and we're working on changing some of the laws in the United States so that we really want to get away from the referrals. That's just our goal. We just feel that people should be able to take their animals to have whatever kind of care they want, whether it's massage or acupuncture or chiropractic. I mean, I feel that way as a owner of animals. It's like, you know, if there's a risk, I'm willing to take it. Mm-hmm. It's my animal. And I have very good working relationships with all the vets in the area, which is great. A few years ago, I got a new reporting program, so I send all the reports to all the referring veterinarians, so they have watched carefully for the last, I'm in my 8th year. So they have seen that, Hank wasn't walking, and he got chiropractic care for 2 months, and now he can walk. And that, you know, lots of different kinds of conditions, a few visits, and dogs are better where they were kind of given up because the drugs weren't working or surgery wasn't an option. And I get now just, my clients used to just have to ask their vets for referrals, but now the veterinarians are actually referring me, which is awesome.
Nice.
I'm so grateful for these vets that are so willing to include chiropractic in what they would recommend for their clients.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. Yeah, because that would be hard if you always have to take your animal one place to get to the next, to the chiropractor, when you kind of like want to just try that first,
mm-hmm.
you know.
To avoid spending too much money.
Right.
So kind of works against that idea.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm just curious. I was thinking of your statement with the Skype meetings. Can you, when you have to have a vet on site, could they ever, if they're going to have the vet oversee what you're doing, could they ever do that on a Skype type situation?
Well, that's a good idea. I never even thought of that. But then we're still asking them to take time off.
Oh, definitely. No, it's still not cool.
Can you hurry up? I have like 5 clients.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And they're barking right now.
Yeah, no, I just was thinking if you know, I don't know what the purpose of the vet is there before. I mean, I suppose if something happened, but in something happens, you're going to typically know, have an idea of what's going on.
Well, having gone to chiropractic school, I mean, we had to learn how to do basic human histories and exams where we rule out all kinds of things.
Right.
Heart disease, you know, cardiovascular issues or pulmonary issues. I mean, we learn all that because it's basically medical school.
Right.
Chiropractic specialty. So me, as an animal chiropractor, I mean, I'm going to take a history. And if I'm concerned about something, I'm going to send them right back to the vet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know not everyone's going to do that. So I guess we always have to protect because of the people that aren't going to, you know, practice well. So that's kind of unfair. But, I mean, these are the kinds of things that I will just take care of. I mean, if somebody says, well, my dog got hit by a car, but he seems to be okay. Well, you take him to the vet first because I don't want to touch him until I know he doesn't have broken bones or some internal injuries. That's not something I should be managing right now.
Palpitating or messing with.
Yeah, right. No. And I know that that's how the vets feel. And a lot of this comes from misinformation or lack of knowledge because they don't understand what chiropractic is. Mm-hmm. So if all the vets did know that, they'd realize that, oh, well, she's a responsible clinician. She'll do her job, and there's really no danger here.
Right.
And I think, you know, medicine met the medical groups back years ago thought that they had to have control over everything a person did, too.
Right. So yes,
fortunately,
absolutely.
Now we have some flexibility.
A little more autonomy sometimes.
Choosing to go where we want to go.
Yeah.
For our health care.
Yes. Yeah.
Doesn't mean we have to be poked and prodded and squeezed. And
right. Exactly. Well, I've certainly had my experiences being poked and prodded and having no answers, but then walking down to the chiropractor's office and moving. And yeah. That's kind of exciting. So.
Exactly. So to have that freedom of choice in your medical care, whether it's for you or your animal, I think is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Do you have an office? Do people come to you with their dogs and cats? I imagine their horses. Yeah. You're probably going to visit them.
That's a good question. So obviously I make barn calls for the horses, but I have a local farm, Julie Sather's farm. She's gracefully offered her farm for people that want to trailer in from a distance. Like if I get a call from Ashland for one horse, I can't, you know, it doesn't make any sense for me to drive over there for one horse. They can trailer in to her farm. She has a beautiful farm where you can drive in and out without turning your trailer around.
Oh, nice.
But generally I make barn calls, and I like to have a few horses to do at one time to make it worth my travel time, and because it, and depending on where it is, it takes a good chunk of the day.
Sure.
But I'll travel up to the Iron Range. I go to Grand Marais. I go to Ashland. And I go south 35W as far as Finlayson so far. And then Barnum area. And that's just so much fun for me. So I charge a trip fee. But the other thing is chiropractic isn't that expensive when you compare it to veterinary bills. And then I do have a small office. I actually just moved from Garfield Avenue over to West Duluth. It's on West 27th Street Avenue and Superior Street.
Oh, so you're like right by, kind of a little up from the Duluth Grill and by the
right by
In Motion.
Superior Brewing Company.
Okay.
Right around the hallway from them.
Oh, neat.
So first level, because I have a lot of dogs that need to just have it easy to walk in, no stairs, lots of parking out front. I have some set hours there, but now that it's horse season, I kind of go by appointment.
Okay.
Because if I get a call for a horse, I have to kind of set up a route.
Sure.
It takes most of the day or the whole day. And once in a while, I do make house calls for small animals. If that animal is large and maybe is paralyzed, I definitely will charge a small trip fee and come to your house and take care of your dog or your cat. I've done both. Just to offer that service, because if a dog weighs 120 pounds and the owner weighs less than that, there's no way that they can get that animal, and I'm not going to sacrifice their chiropractic care because they can't come to my office.
Right. Well, and then too, if you're trying to hoist a dog into a car, if they're having issues, and then it makes it
don't
worse.
Don't undo everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they get to be in their home space, and they get
exactly.
to just chill out, and they don't have to stress about the car ride if the car ride is stressful.
Oh, yes, we have those.
So if somebody wants to reach you, how do they find you and find out more about you?
Okay, I have a Facebook page. It's under Animal Kingdom Chiropractic, and that's also my website, animalkingdomchiropractic.com. It's also my email address, animalkingdomchiropractic@gmail.com. Makes things really easy.
Yes.
I'm I'm finding that I haven't updated all those places yet with my address. I'm getting on that here today. And my calling is best to, my phone is listed on all those sources.
Okay.
Calling is best. Some people text me. That's harder because if I'm out and about and if I don't have my schedule with me, then I have to remember that somebody texted me.
Oh, yeah.
And then some people, you know, message me on Facebook or they email. And it's like, so like five sources, like I can't keep up with them. So just please pick up the phone and call me because then I have it on my phone. And if it's on my voicemail, I won't lose it.
Right.
And then, cause then I write it down. I'm kind of old school. I like to write it down. I have a paper calendar.
I'm with you.
But I do use an iPad for my reports, which is beautiful. I take a photo of your animal, all your information, your the history, and all the reports go on that. And I push a button, and the report goes to the client with pictures, which I love.
Oh, yeah.
Pictures of red X's of where I adjusted your animal. And then, of course, I use the actual chiropractic listing for those who care to look at it that way. And then that report goes to your veterinarian too, which has really, really helped grow my practice. When they are getting that feedback, some don't care. Others read them all.
Uh-huh.
But then they see how chiropractic has really helped. And that's helped me grow my practice and set up a good relationship. Because that's the other thing that my certification group, the International Veterinary Chiropractic Association, our other job or goal is to have great relationships because we're all here for the animals.
Right.
That's what we're here for. We want our animals to live long, healthy, pain-free lives. And if we work together, we can do that. And I'm not taking anything from the veterinarian. In fact, I'm adding because I have had numerous dogs brought to me because the owners were going to euthanize them because there was nothing more that their vets could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some live 1, 2, 3, and 4 years longer, which means they need that much more veterinary care.
Exactly.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of what I'm working on just developing and building as I move forward.
Helping them understand you and what you do versus seeing you as a threat.
Exactly.
In a sense.
Exactly. Yeah. We're here together. We're here working on the same goals.
It's about the fur babies.
It is.
What else? Is there anything else I'm forgetting to ask you?
Oh, I can't think of anything. I mean, there's a million things we could talk about.
Right.
But I think we kind of touched on the main topics.
Okay. Good. Yeah. I want to have people know what you do and know that you're a resource if they need something, they got something going on. So, well, thank you. Thanks for your time.
Oh,
this
I enjoyed
great.
It. Thank you. It's nice to educate the public. And, that's what I've done for so many years. You know, I have my captive audience in my offices, but to get it out to the general public, to people that don't even know this exists,
right,
is huge.
Exactly.
And I really am grateful that you're willing to do this and all the other things that you do.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, it's one of those things that I know the first time I heard about animal chiropractic was I was going to a people chiropractic, and one of the people who worked there was leaving to study animal chiropractic. And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. How cool is that? You know? So, yeah. And then I hadn't really heard anything about it for a really long time, you know? So it's good to know that you're here.
Yeah. I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Her website again is animalkingdomchiropractic.com. And as she mentioned, giving her a call is the best way to contact her. If you're in need of a few cute animal pictures, you can check out her testimonial page. There's some delightful little pictures of some of the animals. That picture of Jim, is that really his tail? That looks like a really long tail. unusually long tail. I don't know if it's just the way the picture is taken or what, but anyway, go check out the picture of Jim. Can't go wrong with cute animal pictures. Plus, her page has an end. It's not like Facebook where you just keep scrolling and scrolling and looking for the next cute animal picture, which I totally realize is fun, but you can do that for a very, very long time. You can hang out on her site for a very, very long time too, but eventually you'll have to start reading blogs and stuff, which gets you to more cute animal pictures. So it's kind of a win-win. Thank you so very much for listening. Thank you for your support and for sharing. We look forward to seeing you next week with recordings from our live in-person recorded podcast from the Spirit and Wellness Connection here in Duluth. Until then, have a wonderful week. Take good care. And hopefully wherever you are, it isn't snowing anymore. If you've been in the Northland, you know that we just got hit again with not too much, but more than one ever wants to see in the middle of May. The middle heading towards the end of May, might I point out. Until next time, may you continue to find the pieces that fit beautifully into your health and wellness puzzle. Take care.